God's beloved, your Lord speaks to you today in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Would you please turn there with me now? It's not as many verses that we'll read today. I'd like to have in our minds what just happened with Abram last week. Of course, we'll revisit it in the sermon. But as we even read these words, it'll be helpful just have in mind what just happened, because it says, after these things, that's where Abram finds himself now, digesting on what just happened. And that's chapter 14, where he went out with a small band of his trained servants and took out a whole bunch of kings that had taken Lot and all the people of Sodom away, and he brought them back, rescued them and brought them back. Then he was greeted by the king of Melchizedek, who honored him. He gives all the glory to the Lord, and he wants nothing to do with what King Sodom wants to give him, so that there'd be no chance that glory would go to anyone else but God. But it was a pretty amazing thing he's just gone through, and now he's kind of sitting and thinking about it, and the Lord meets with him, and that's the context of where we're starting today. Verses 1 through 5 of Genesis 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. This is God's holy word. Let us hear him. Beloved, do you bite your nails? Do you look over your shoulder? You find yourself often fidgeting, tapping your toes while you're sitting. Do you find yourself breaking out in cold sweats? Do you find yourself tossing and turning at night on your pillow? Do you have a difficulty making decisions? Do you procrastinate? Why? Why do you do these things? Why do we all do these things? Well, the reason is you are afraid. You are scared. You have fear. What's the greatest source of these symptoms of your fear? I submit that the source is first that you are afraid of the unknown. And secondly, you are afraid of what you cannot control. What is the remedy? The remedy is this, to focus. To focus. To focus on what you do know. And to focus on who does have control. And that will take the fear away. It won't take the struggles away, but it will take the fear away. And in our text, we see Abram is afraid. He's come back from the war, and he's apparently afraid of possible retaliation from these kings because he just defeated them, but it was by surprise attack, and they are many more than him. And now he is exposed. They know who he is now. And we know that he fears. How do we know that he fears? Because God knows his heart, and God comes to him to comfort him, and God says to him, Fear not. Fear not. God speaks in a vision to strengthen Abram, to strengthen him in God himself. That's the only place we'll get our strength. That's the only way we'll lose our fear. Napoleon Bonaparte once wrote, He who fears being conquered is sure of defeat. He who fears being conquered is sure of defeat. So you see, you don't want someone out there in the military with you fighting alongside you who's afraid, do you? Because they'll hesitate. And because they'll get themselves hurt and you hurt because they're afraid. You want someone that goes out boldly with no fear. Not foolishly, but with no fear. Or at least someone who doesn't begin already conquered. How do you overcome your fear? By faith. But not faith in faith itself. You'll often hear people say, I got through because of my faith. I'm relying on my faith. You don't rely on your faith. It's a gift of God. You have faith in Jesus Christ. You have faith in the King of Kings. The faith you have is a gift from Him to trust in Him. And when you trust in Jesus Christ, and when you remember His promises, you will overcome your fear. That's the only solution. And Christ comes to you today, beloved. He knows you're afraid. He knows what's on your heart. And He comes to speak with you as you have answered His call to come before Him here in worship. And He says to you today, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That's what He sends you out today with. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your God will protect you. Don't be afraid. Your God will protect you. And so we see in verse 1, God comes to Abram, soon to be Abraham, and He says, fear not. That's what He begins with. Fear not, Abram. God knows Abram's heart. We don't know Abram's heart, except for the fact that God knows and He addresses it. What is he afraid of? After these things, he's probably afraid of retaliation. We'll see he has other things on his mind as well. But he's probably afraid that people will be coming after him now. He was a nobody. He was this little guy further away. They wouldn't know of him, but now they know his name. You can bet they know the name of Abram now with such a military victory, such an incredible victory, with so few people against such great odds. He's afraid they'll be coming after him. Just like in sports or in politics, when somebody sticks their neck out and they win, especially where did this person come from? All of a sudden, everybody's talking about them. All of a sudden, they become a target, especially when you stick your neck out to do what is right, which is why most people won't, because we're afraid. We don't want to come out from the vagueness of the masses to be highlighted as someone who stands for something and is willing to suffer for it. Because we're afraid. And that's what Abram did. He stuck his neck out. He went out and he won. He brought his nephew Lot back. And now Abram wears a bullseye. So he's afraid. But I think he's also feeling lonely again. After some time he sees his only family, Lot. But Lot isn't coming back with him. Lot stays in Sodom. And he still doesn't have any of his own family. He has many servants. He has much possessions. He's got the land that's been promised. He's living in it anyways. He knows he'll have many seed, but his wife, they still don't have a child. He doesn't have an heir. I think he feels lonely as well. He feels afraid, and he feels alone. And in that setting, as he's thinking to himself, God knows, and the Most High God condescends to speak with him as his friend. The Most High God comes to comfort him in his fear and loneliness, and he says, fear not. Fear not. You see, God personally promises to lead you in your war against sin. He personally promises to be there with you, to come along your side. In fact, it's only by His power you will have any victory. But not just on the offensive. He also promises to be there to protect you from counterattack. And you know there will be, and you've experienced there is counterattack, aren't there? And especially when you stick your neck out and do what's right, you will experience counterattack from within, Satan and his demons attacking you, and from without. And unfortunately, sometimes when you do what's right, even from your own brethren. But God says, I'll be there for you. He says, I will be, or rather he says, I am your shield. That word shield is so often used to refer to God. It's all through the Psalms. We sang it in Psalm 91. What is a shield? A shield is something you have in front of you to protect you from those things that are coming at you to hurt and kill you. And they deflect them and they absorb them. And God says, that's what I am. That's what I am to you. Don't be afraid. I will absorb these things for you. And beloved, God knows that you are afraid. God knows that you are under attack. And he says to you today, hide behind me. I'll be your shield. Hide behind me. I will absorb the fiery darts of Satan. I will absorb the evil words of men that may not break your bones, but they surely cut your heart. I know they do. Let me absorb them for you. I am your shield. Beloved, when you feel overcome and battle-worn in this cosmic clash that is Genesis 3:15. See Jesus. See the King of Kings who has resurrected himself from the dead, sits on high. See him walking towards you over the stormy waters, calling out to you, it is I. It is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid, he says to you. But notice that God doesn't comfort you with impulses from within. God doesn't comfort you with inferences. He doesn't comfort you with notions and thinking you feel what he's saying to you. He speaks words to you. This is how God comforts you. He says things to you in his word. He speaks words to you. Verses 1 and 4, it says, the word of the Lord came to Abram. And this is how he comforts him. He speaks words. The psalmist says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Psalm 56, verse 4. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Psalm 119, verse 114. But God is not only Abram's shield. That's not all that he is. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your God will reward you. And that's what he tells Abram also in verse 1. He says, not only am I your shield, but I am your reward. I am your reward. You see, Abram took no reward from that war. Sodom tried to offer him many possessions. And notice that Abram gave a tithe of all that he had to the priest Melchizedek of the Most High God, but it wasn't from any new income. It was from what he already had. In a sense, he's behind now for doing the right thing. He has gotten no reward earthly. And God says, I am your reward. I'm everything. And I've given you myself. I'm your reward. Don't be afraid. And God thus rewards him. What does he reward him with? Again, he rewards him with himself. There is no greater reward, beloved. God is your most exceeding great reward. There's nothing better that you can have. And notice this, you get a reward. Rightly so, we often talk so much about God's sovereign grace, his sovereignty in all things. And that's true and right. But nonetheless, you get a reward. He gives you a reward. Because you are suffering now in this life for him. You are giving up things in this world for him. And he rewards you for it. You don't go without any reward. You know you have a reward of heaven and eternal life. But more than that, he rewards you with himself now. Think of what Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, says to Ruth. She's a Moabitess. She comes for the first time, rather, to the land of Israel. with her mother-in-law. She's lost her husband. But she says to Naomi, your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. She turns away from the untrue God and the people who are not finding their rest and their shield in Him. And she goes to Boaz at his feet. And he says, you are a wonderful woman. You are a good woman. You could have gone after these younger men, these better looking men. But you came to me. You're following what you're supposed to do, because I'm, other than one guy we'll need to talk to, I'm supposed to redeem you. I'm supposed to take you as my wife. And you've come to me to do that. And so he says, may you be rewarded for your faith in the Holy God. May you be rewarded for trusting Him. He says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. May God reward you for your faith. He says, for your work. But what is the work of faith? Jesus says, to believe on God and to believe on the one that He has sent. And Ruth is trusting in God. She's come under the wings of the only true God, the Lord Almighty. And Boaz says, may He reward you. And in fact, they marry. And have you considered who their great-great-grandson is? King David. It's also interesting to take a look at the end of Ruth. And as you look at the genealogy in the beginning of Matthew, where Boaz comes from. Tamar and Judah. Wow. But they're trusting in the Lord God. And the Messiah who will save us all comes through them, through King David. Just a few generations, she's rewarded with one of the most prominent characters of the Scriptures, the one who is a type of the Messiah extraordinaire. Men, you forsook all women for the reward of your wife, who gave you her entire life. And what more could she give but herself? And what more could you want or ask for than her to give you her person? Beloved, Jesus has married you. He has given Himself for you. He gives you Himself, and He is eternal life Himself. What more could you ask for? You seek no reward on this fallen earth, and so He rewards you with Himself. Forever in heaven. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Colossians chapter 3. Jesus says to you, He says to you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't be afraid. He is with you always and to the end. But how will the details be worked out, right? You believe, like Abram, you trust in the end, but how's it all going to work out? I still have this life that I'm supposed to live. And it's hard. I can't see how it's working out. How's it going to work out, Lord? Please show me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your God will take care of your details. All of your details. Verses 2 and 3. And Abram said, pardon me. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. He says to God, what will you give me? Now perhaps that might seem irreverent. God has just said, I have given you me. Your exceeding great reward. I am your shield. However, Abram has some context here. You've promised me other things. You've promised me a land. You've promised me a seed that I won't even be able to count. He asked this question not out of unbelief, but of belief. I know you're going to do this, but I don't see how. I don't understand how. I think that's what we tend to find ourselves worrying about the most and having fear. We don't understand the how. And we struggle that we don't have the control of those things. Abram and Sarai are getting older, and Sarai is still barren. How are you going to do this? And Abram looks then to his servant Eliezer, because he struggles to envision how is God going to work out this marvelous plan? How? As you cross the Coronado Bridge to the island, you don't bother about thinking what kind of make of concrete is below the spinning tires, and you don't really think about what are the width of the beams holding me up, and what were the names of the men that laid those beams. What are the exact number of seconds it's going to take to get from here to there? You don't bother yourself with those things. You just trust that it will get you there. And it does. If you worried about all that, you'd never start to cross the bridge. Or if you did, you'd probably cause an accident. You just got to trust that it will get you there, and you go over it. And it gets you there. Abram and you cannot know and you cannot handle God's providential details. You're not God, and you can't handle it. He gives you what you can handle. And that's it. That's why he gives you himself. Because you can rest assured in him. Because he's God. Trust Jesus when he says that he prepares a place for you. Don't worry about how it's all going to happen. Trust him. Trust Jesus when he says that he will be with you to the end. Don't worry about what's going to be on the way. Trust Jesus when he tells you that he's coming back for you. And don't worry about when. Don't sweat the small stuff, beloved. Well, if you're thinking, you say, wait a minute, this is not small stuff. My life and these things are not small stuff. No, they're big things for you. They're big things for me. Abram's dealing with some pretty heavy things. But for God, it's small stuff. If he is our shield, and he's our exceeding great reward. These are small things for God. You can trust them into his care. If you worry all the time, you will paralyze yourself. Focus on the big picture. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Your God shows you what you need to know. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Out of my own bowels, I'm old, I'm wrinkly, I understand the promise, but how is that going to work? And my wife's been barren, she's not young. We'll learn in a little while, God will answer that question with, nothing is impossible for God. Don't you see? What does the angel say to Mary? But I have not been with a man. But you're going to have a child. Because nothing is impossible. Do you believe that, beloved? That will really help you not be afraid. Nothing is impossible with God. Remember who God is. Infinite, eternal, unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, justice, holiness, goodness, and truth. There is nothing impossible for your God, under whose wings you have come to rest, under whose wings you have come to be shielded from the attacks of the world. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. Look at the stars. What a grand picture he gives to Abram. Now, what was the picture he gave just before? He's told Abram to look before. Last time he's missing Lot, he says, don't look over there at Sodom. Look all around the land. Behold this dust. Can you count it? If you can count all that dust, you can count all the people I'm going to give as your descendants. Today, though, We look up even further beyond the hills unto the sky, and he sees all of these stars twinkling before him. You see, because God is reminding him what Abram said when he was not willing to take rewards from Sodom. He borrows the language of Melchizedek and talks about the God, the Lord Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. See, God is expanding his vision. God is making him think bigger of the vision. Not only the land, but heaven itself do I possess. And I'm giving it all to you. Look up and see the stars. It's not a different promise. It's just a bigger, more beautiful sign and picture of what the promise will entail. It's like an artistic rendering of a building. You ever seen that? Maybe on the news. I've been involved in some building projects, and I cannot picture how this building is going to be. You know, you go into a major city like New York City, you look up at those buildings, and you just marvel, and you said, how did they do that? And I expect the person that was involved will say, don't even ask, you'd never understand. Just behold, isn't it beautiful? Right? And so we often, when we're involved in a building project, a new college campus, a bridge, for me it was an aquarium at the Pittsburgh Zoo, there's these artistic renderings. Come here, I want to show you. Take a look at this. I know you just see a mess out there of dirt and rocks and pipes and wires. I'm like you, I can't figure out how it's not going to be that. You know, how do we get from there to this? But this is where we're going. This is where we're going. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it going to be great? And when they show you that, it makes it worthwhile to just keep going. Because it is going to be worth it, and it is going to be great. And when it's done and it's built, you look at it and you say, oh, that's great! And you're not thinking about how it's working or how it got to be there. You're just saying, man, that's beautiful. I'm so glad that I waited for it. So glad I was a part of it. And you see, God gives this kind of a picture to Abram to keep him going, to comfort him. God says, look into the stars. He gives him an indelible image in his mind's eye to last him. An image of the distant, yet the grand fulfillment of his promise. Jesus does the same thing. The seed of Abraham, the son of Abraham, in the flesh, he comes. He gives you similar pictures of how glorious the kingdom of heaven will be. It's like a mustard seed. Can you possibly imagine how this stinky little thing is going to be a glorious tree? But it will be. Can you really stop and understand even what we sort of understand? Can you really fathom how it grows into this incredible tree? You just can't. But what you can do is look forward to it, and when it's there, you can sit in its shade and enjoy the singing of the birds. The kingdom of heaven is like what else? It's like yeast. Do you really get yeast? My wife makes bread at home a lot. I love it, but I don't stand there saying, how does it work? I don't think there's going to be bread. I just come back when I smell the good stuff, when I am happy to eat that lovely loaf of bread. Right? Don't worry about how it works. Oh, he gives you a few details, but he lets so much of it be a mystery. Because you've got to trust in him. Because he's the reason the bread will grow by the yeast. He's the reason the seed will grow into a tree. He made it all. He's redeeming it all. He will conquer it all. And he has said, come here. Let me remind you of that. Have the tree in view while you wait for the seed to grow into its maturity. Have the bread in view and smell it and taste what it will be while you wait for the yeast to grow. You wait for it to be cooked in the oven. God goes to Abram after an earthly battle in a vision to give him a surprising and brilliant perspective. So Jesus meets you. He meets you here. After your battles this week, he meets you here during the battles, and he shows you today your heavenly prize. He says, I'm here. I'm shielding you. You think it's bad? You don't know how bad it would be if I wasn't shielding you. And anything that hits you is because I let it, because you need to experience that. But I'm shielding you from all kinds of hurt. Come here. Come under the shadow of my wing, and let me comfort you. Beloved, I know you're afraid. I know you're scared. Because you're just like me. And God knows your heart. Let me show you a picture. Let me show you another picture of what fear can do to you. An evangelist shares the story of a woman who was in great debt and owed a lot of money and was in danger of being evicted from her apartment. Her pastor comes to her apartment with a bag of money to help her pay the debts and be able to stay. Knocks on the door. No answer. Finds that it's locked. Goes to the windows. Knocks. The windows are shut. The door is locked. The windows are barred. The drapes have been drawn down. And no one's answering. So he goes away. But she was there. She was hiding because she was afraid. She thought he was the police officer come to take her away. And she missed out on the blessing. She missed out. Beloved, don't hide. Don't hide in fear. God gives Abram and you, his seed, a picture of what he brings to you in Jesus Christ. It's a vision that you can hold on to. It's a vision that you can live boldly with. It's a vision that you can live boldly out there in the open air. You're going. Most of you are going to family camp tomorrow. And you're going to, at night, meet each other and go to that basketball court. And you're going to look up into a particularly clear sky that we don't get to see here, and you're going to see all those stars. And when you see those stars, talk with one another about this promise. And whatever you hold within your heart, because you're too afraid to tell your beloved brethren, but I encourage you to do that and be vulnerable, God knows your heart. And as you stand there and you think and you harbor and wrestle with your fears and your spiritual battles within, remember God's big picture as you look up to those stars. Remember the covenant of grace. And remember that you are one of those multitude of glittering stars. You're one of those answers to Abram. You brilliantly sparkle against the darkness because Jesus, the bright morning star, shines through you. God says to you, sons of Abraham, I am your shield. And I am your exceeding great reward. Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord, says in heaven, he says to you now as you're listening to him, I am your shield. He is the shield referred to in Psalm 84. I am your shield. I am your exceeding great reward. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Let's be still before the Lord and pray. Lord God, we confess that we are afraid. We confess that we fear aplenty. And you have told us to not be afraid. And we ask how. And you've given us the answer. By fixing our eyes on you, fixing our eyes on your promise. That is as sure as the tree that comes from the seed, that is as sure as the bread that grows from the yeast. And it will be grand, and it will be glorious. And in fact, it is already advancing, and we are part of it. Help us to trust you. Help us to let go of the need to have control, because we have no control. Help us to trust in what we do know, and meditate on these things, and be strengthened in the words that you speak to us. You are our shelter. You are our hiding place. You are our shield and our exceeding great reward. And we praise you and we are strengthened. And we go out with courage and growing in our faith to conquer our fears, knowing in Christ we will not be defeated. And we pray these things in His mighty name, the Lord Jesus. Amen.